Audible.com and Microsoft are proud to present this selection from the science fiction series 2000X, available exclusively in downloadable digital audio from Audible.com and the Hollywood Theater of the Ear. Far out, imaginative, 2000X is science fiction and audio at its best from some of the top writers and performers of the age. The 2000X series of dramatic performances is the winner of the prestigious 2001 Bradbury Award from the Science Fiction Writers of America. The series is hosted by science fiction writer Harlan Ellison. Ursula K. Le Guin is one of the stars of great science fiction writing. 2000X has adapted her Vaster Than Empires and More Slow to audio drama. This work stars Robert Foxworth and Harlan Ellison.
Aloha there, y'all. This is your peripatetic host, Harlan Ellison, fresh back from the Pleiades, the Pleistocene, and the Plutonian depths, unencumbered and simply faunching to regale you with yet another program of amazing, startling, astounding stories filled with thrilling wonder, other worlds, and the recombinant DNA of some of the universe's greatest storytellers. This time, we buckle on our harness, we take staff in hand, pitons on our boots, and we ascend into the febrile imagination of Ursula K. Le Guin. The K stands for Kroeber, that's spelled K-R-O-E-B-E-R, a family name that looms large in the annals of anthropology. You could look it up, you know. The story is one of Ursula's Hainish cycle. And when I called her this morning to get her to explain in a very few words exactly what the Ecumen and the Hainish are, strictly so as I could give you a jump start into this drama, the Countess Le Guin said to me, she said, well, the Hainish are an old, very old, really old, ancient race who sort of run things. Uh-huh, I said, and what about this Ecumen that you mentioned? And Le Guin, who once tried to pry me off the sidewalk in Kensington in London, where I was hugging a fire hydrant and demanding of the hydrant that it take me to its leader, Le Guin said to me, she said, the Ecumen is a sort of league of nations of many worlds, but that doesn't sound right. Call it a consortium. Okay, Ursula, you bawdy beauty, it's a consortium. And after we've enjoyed Vaster Than Empires and More Slow, I'll come back and explain why the ship is full of misfits and where you got that title. But now, Ursula K. Le Guin's award-winning story, Vaster Than Empires and More Slow.
It was only during the earliest decades of the League that the Earth sent ships out on enormously long voyages beyond the pale, over the stars and far away.
There it is. Star KGE-96651.
They were seeking worlds that hadn't been seeded or settled by the League. Truly alien worlds. Terran ships, the ships of Earth, manned by volunteers.
Good job, isn't that, Flo? And right on schedule, 10 hours, 29 minutes.
You forget, Coordinator Haito. Time slippage.
Okay, 256 years.
And world 4470?
Somewhere out there, Mr. Hoffman.
Yeah. A needle in a 400 million kilometer haystack.
Such was the crew of the Terran ship Goom.
Dr. Haito Tomiko, mission coordinator and physician.
Inger Harfax, biologist.
George Austin, bioempathic sensor.
Sephraman, an eco-psychologist.
Kovic Porlock, PhD, chemist and scientific generalist.
Veswar Oluru, Professor Porlock's assistant.
As Nanofoil, mathematician and mission navigator.
Ender Esquana, engineer.
These and all other volunteers in the extreme survey crews shared one peculiarity. They were all, each and every one, of unsound mind.
I can't stand him. The man is insane.
Take it easy, Porlock. The poor guy's just confused.
How did he ever get on an extreme survey team?
How did any of us get on?
We volunteered.
It's a deliberate experiment in incompatibility, that's what it is, with us as guinea pigs.
On Hain, we generally use hamsters and Hainish gulls instead of guinea pigs.
Porlock could be right. I think he's right.
Mr. Austin, this is really a very rare case. In fact, he's the first fully cured victim of Render syndrome.
What's that?
A variety of infantile autism.
Autism? That's where you're totally withdrawn and indifferent to the outside world, right?
More or less.
Am I autistic? I mean, some of the time?
Well, Esquana, you sure aren't normal.
Who is? R.S. was believed to be incurable until a Terran analyst named Hammerkel discovered that it was caused by a supernormal empathic capacity. Mr. Austin was Dr. Hammergill's first patient and lived with him until he was 18. The therapy was completely successful.
Successful?
Oh, of course. Mr. Austin's certainly not autistic, is he?
No, he's intolerable.
Well, you see, he's an empath. Most only pick up indications of how we're perceived from outside signs, vocal intonations, body language, and the like. But Austin actually feels the emotions of others.
Shouldn't that make him more rather than less easy to live with?
There's a normal element of hostility towards any stranger when you first meet him. Add to that a spontaneous dislike of one's looks, perhaps, or...
He is strange looking. Mm-hmm. So bony, all white, veiny.
The man's a walking anatomy lesson.
And that bag he wears on his head. What's that all about?
It's polythene. He claims it cuts down empathic noise.
If the eyes would get to me, colorless like cold, clear water. How can you tell, Hayato? He never looks at anyone.
Don't you see? All this hostility, he feels it. Feels his own feelings and yours.
Well, can he control it?
Can you? Can you control your own spontaneous emotions? Since his cure, he resorts to an aggressive defense mechanism in response to the aggression you unwittingly project at him.
Nothing gives a man a right to be such a bastard.
Can he just tune us out or something?
It's like hearing. No eyelids on your ears. No off switch on empathy. He hears our emotions whether he wants to or not.
Does he know what we're thinking?
Of course not. Empathy's not telepathy. Nobody can read minds.
Actually, just before I left Hain, I read a most interesting report about teachable telepathic technique.
Well, why does he hate us?
Nobody hates you, Ender, honey. He acts like he hates us.
Yeah.
If Austin is so sensitive to our hostility, why does he make it worse with his constant belligerence and insults? I can't say I think much of Dr. Hammerhead's cure. Austin might have been better off remaining autistic.
I agree. Even autistic withdrawal is better than the smog of cheap secondhand emotionalism that you people bombard at me. Who the devil moved my tapes? Don't touch my things, any of you.
Why are you such a bastard?
Why shouldn't I be?
Because we shall be spending several years together, Mr. Austin.
Centuries, if you account for time slipping.
Life will be better for all of us if we can get along.
Can't you understand? I don't give a damn for the whole lot of...
Oh, now he's done it. Anders fainted.
No, merely asleep. That's Anders' usual reaction to stress.
Forlock is right, Hayato. There's no other explanation. This mission's meant to fail.
What are you doing, Uluru?
Gilding my nipples. Nice, huh?
Stunning.
You don't mind if Harfax comes in for a while tonight, do you?
What am I supposed to do while he's here? Sit in Maine again with that damned peeled turnip?
Mr. No-Skin, the peeled turnip. That's good.
I was hoping to turn in early.
Oh, come on. I'd do the same for you.
I'd never ask.
Just for tonight, Hayato. I slept in their cabin last night and asked Nat for him. I get jealous.
Service them both.
I only like one a night.
Try Austin, then.
What a cruel thing to say. I'm not attracted to Austin.
I didn't know it mattered.
Well, of course it matters. I mean, what do you take me for? Sometimes I think that you don't have any heart.
I know that you have no discipline. And stop that sniveling.
Don't you ever cry, Hayato. I've never seen you cry.
No, I don't cry. What good does it do?
Babies don't cry when they're born, I mean. Did you know that, Hayato? No tears. They holler a lot, but they don't cry.
Just make sure you and Harfax or whoever finish by last bell. I'm tired.
Well, Mr. Austin, why am I not surprised to see you here?
Go away.
I don't have anywhere else to go at the moment.
I was hoping to be alone.
I'll try. try not to disturb you.
You can't help but disturb me.
What is emotion, Austin? What is it exactly you pick up with your empathic sensitivity?
Muck. The psychic excreta of the animal kingdom. I wade through your feces.
I was just trying to learn some facts.
You weren't after facts. You were trying to get at me with some fear, some curiosity, and a great deal of distaste. The way you might poke a dead dog to see the maggots crawl.
Okay. Maybe you're right, but...
Can't you understand that I don't want to be got at? That I want to be left alone? Go roll in your own dung, you yellow bitch.
Calm down, mister.
All crew to the bridge. All crew to the bridge. We are in orbit. World 4470, dead ahead.
Come on, have a look. Come on, look at this. Look at it. There she glows. World 4470. That's the prettiest sight as I ever saw.
It looks like a green jewel.
There's no tracks. There's no structures. There's no artifacts of any kind. It appears completely unmarked.
No animals, then. No men.
Of course not. We're two light centuries past the limit of Hainish expansion, outside of which there are no men. Anywhere. You don't think creation would have made the same hideous mistake twice?
Oh,
it looks so peaceful.
It does. It's very pretty.
Was it peaceful?
Take her down, Mr. Esnanofoil. We'll do a little air reconnaissance and then find a place to land.
Yes, ma'am.
What's your analysis, Mr. Harfex?
It looks like a pure fighter sphere, nothing but plants. Mm. Osden, do you pick up anything sentient?
Mr. Sensor Osden, please answer Mr. Harfex.
How could I pick up anything from outside with the emotions of you neurotic hominids pullulating around me like worms in a can?
Just a minute, Osden. We have a right to expect...
I'm aware of my responsibility as censor, Mr. Porlock.
What?
When I have anything to tell you, I'll tell you. However, if you presume to give me an order and coordinator, Haito, I will consider my responsibility void.
Just watch your...
All right, everybody. Very well, Mr. Sensor. I trust no orders will be needed henceforth. Mr. Porlock, it's air breathable.
Very. It's much purer than Terran air. It's pristine, in fact.
Then I suggest we get busy and make camp.
There are no animals here. Not even among the microbiota. Nobody here eats anybody else.
Until now.
All life forms are photosynthesizing or saprophages, living off light or death. Not life, never other life.
So quiet. You can't get used to the quiet.
Is that why you persist in defiling it with senseless chatter?
And the color. I've never seen such color. So many greens. The violets, the reds, so vibrant.
Plants. Nothing but plants. And not one species known to man.
Let's set up the helijet and take a look around.
Poor old Austin. All that fancy hi-fi stuff in his brain and nothing to receive.
Poor us. You gotta put up with him.
He told me he hates plants.
And you'd think he'd like them since they don't bother him like we do.
Well, I can't that much like these plants myself. And all the same, no mind and no change. Alone in a man go right off his head.
If it's alive, Osden hates it.
He's not really so bad. I mean, he's okay. If you don't bother him.
Yeah, you ever slept with him, Olaru?
You Terrans are
sick. No, she hasn't. Have you, Porlock?
Don't go there.
Osden can't bear to be touched. One time, just by accident, in 0G, I kind of brushed against him, you know, lightly, and he pushed me away like I was something dirty, just some... We're all just things.
He's evil. He's going to end up destroying this mission, sabotaging the team somehow. Now, you just wait. This way he's not fit to live with other people.
Instrument shower directly over the pole. I'm taking us down.
Nothing wild this hand, Esquana, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, I can't compute wild cards.
The usual bet?
Uh-huh. A night with Alaru.
Are you sure she won't mind?
Has she ever minded before?
No.
And let me give you a piece of advice, little buddy. In case you win this hand, while she's in your bed, stay awake.
Oh,
okay?
I can't help it. She scares me sometimes.
Well, Ander, it's good to see you up and about. I'd be happier, though, if I saw you two working.
We're on a break, enjoying a little game of chance out here in the pristine air.
Juan has been on break, asleep in his cubicle for most of the last few days.
That's because you got the poor guy working with Osden.
I don't do real good with anxiety.
So I noticed.
Hit me, small fry.
Aren't you overmatched playing cards with us, Nanofoil? He comes from a race of mathematical geniuses. It's practically their religion.
It is our religion.
He can probably read his hand and figure out where all the other cards lie.
Come on. The little guy and me are pretty evenly matched. I could do the math. He can read my mind.
Oh, no, really. I can't, honest.
Relax, Ander. Nobody's accusing you of anything.
Aren't you an empath, like Osden?
Well, I can kind of tell when you're feeling good about the cards in your hand, but I can't tell what's in your hand. Like Dr. Porlock says, nobody can read minds.
Well, you still win just as often as I do.
Besides, I'm not nearly as gifted as Mr. Osden.
Yeah, Mr. Osden would probably say he was cursed, not gifted.
He'd say anything if he thought it was irritating.
He scares me. You know, he even looks scary.
Yeah. What did you call him, Haido? A peeled turnip?
I don't want to work with him anymore.
Oh, nobody else does either. What am I supposed to do with him?
Porlock could answer that for you.
Porlock is paranoid. Ander, when your break is over, go back and finish up with Osden in the instrument room. I'll look in to make sure he's behaving. Will you do that for me?
Okay.
You might want to use the 860 micro Waldos in sealing that connection.
Obviously.
Sorry, I just saw you had the 840s there.
And I'll replace them when I take out the 860s. When I don't know what to do, engineer, I'll ask your advice.
Well, gentlemen, how's it going? Ander? Ander? Oh, great. He's asleep again. Osden, what's the matter with you? You know what happens when you snap at this man.
I'm not responsible for his psychoses.
You are, however, responsible for your own. You got him sleeping for the better part of every workday. Esquana is essential to our work here. You're not. So if you can't rein in your hostility, Mr. Osden, you're going to have to avoid him altogether.
With pleasure. You have no idea what it's like to experience Esquana's irrational terrors, to be forced to share his hysterical cowardice, to cringe with him at the slightest
little... Are you trying to justify your cruelty to him? I thought you had more self-respect than that. If your empathic sensitivity really makes you feel his misery, how is it you never show him any compassion?
What do you know about compassion? Would you like me to tell you what I'm receiving from you right now?
How can you expect me to feel kindly towards you when you behave the way you do?
What does it matter how I behave, you stupid sow? Does it make any difference? Do you think the average human is a well of loving kindness?
That's nonsense, Austin. Self-pity. Every man...
But I'm not a man. There are all of you... And there is myself. I am one.
You could kill yourself, Osden.
That's your way, Haido. Seppuku isn't my style. What do you want me to do here?
Leave. Spare yourself and us. Take the air car and a data feeder and go to a species count in the forest. Harpax hasn't even started the forest. Just stay outside empathy range. Radio in twice a day, okay, mister?
All right, coordinator.
Now get out of here!
Nothing's been heard from Sensor Osden for the last week. Except laconic all-well signals twice daily. Meanwhile, in his absence, the mood at base camp has changed like a stage set. Esquana, who had been sleeping 25 out of a 32-hour day, stays awake now up to 18 hours. No one plugs into therapy. Man and Harfex and I went off tranquilizers. Poor Locke. distilled something in his laboratory and drank it all by himself. As nanofoil held an all-night numerical epiphany, which is some kind of Setian mystical rite. Alaru is sleeping with everybody. Work is going well.
What the hell's going on here?
In the voice, something big, moving.
Take it easy, Porlock. Here, sit down. All the room, get some water. You saw something?
Yeah, something. It was in the forest, moving behind
me. But there's nothing, Porlock. No. We've been all over this continent. There's nothing that can move.
No, it was there. It was there. I saw it.
What did you see, Porlock? Tell us.
The movement. I saw movement. Purposeful movement.
Here, Porlock.
Behind me.
Drink this.
Here.
Okay. There. Now, isn't that better?
Calm.
Poor man. Out all day in that scary forest.
No, listen. Things are going well. I was putting in a benchmark. I was bending down, and it came at me. You understand? As if it was swinging down out of the trees.
But you didn't actually see anything.
Yeah, not clearly. Just a movement. And I don't know what it could have been, but something. Self-moving. In the trees. At the edge of the wood.
There's nothing here that could attack you, Porlock. There aren't even microzoa. You couldn't have seen a large animal.
Could you possibly have seen an epiphyte drop suddenly? A vine come loose behind you?
No, it was coming down at me through the branches. It's fast. When I turned, it took off again. It made a noise. But it was sort of a crashing. If it wasn't an animal, God knows what it could have been.
I've been doing a Tarzan act.
It was big. Big as a man at least. Maybe a reddish color. I don't know. I couldn't see. I'm not sure.
You can get edgy under the Abora forms. I've noticed that myself. That's why I put off working in the forest. There's a hypnotic quality in the colors and in the spacing of the stems and branches, especially the helically arranged ones. And the spore throwers grow so regularly spaced that they seem unnatural. The whole thing makes me uneasy. I wonder, could a stronger effect of that sort have brought about an hallucination?
No. It was there. It was something moving of its own volition with purpose. It was trying to attack me from behind.
Mr. Osden, have you come on anything at all that could substantiate Mr. Porlock's impression of a motile, sentient life form?
No, nothing.
You've spent more time in the forest than the rest of us. So from your superior experience, do you agree with my impression that the forest ambiance has a troubling and possibly hallucinogenic effect on the perceptions?
I'll agree that Porlock's perceptions are easily troubled. Keep him in his lab, he'll do less harm. Anything else?
Not at present. Well, you heard him, everyone.
I wasn't imagining things. There's something out there, and I know it.
There are no animals on this planet, Porlock. I'd stake my life on it.
Maybe it's some mutant potato or something.
Please.
No, I'm serious, Hayato. There is something out there. I feel it, too.
Well, it certainly isn't some mutant plant.
How do we know that, Hayato? How can we be sure?
We got to clear this up.
And how do you propose we do that, Porlock?
Well, we got to go back into the forest.
No, doctor, no.
It's the only way. Now, Harfax, you make me your assistant like Osden. You send me out into the forest, and I'm going to explore and observe.
I'll go, too.
No, I don't need her. No. I'm better off on my own.
Then I'll head out in another direction. We'll take in more territory that way.
All right, if that's how it's going to be. I don't want either of you venturing outside a 50-mile radius from the camp. Call in at sunup and sundown. Report immediately upon finding something.
If it doesn't find us first.
Porlock, you've gone out of your mind.
There's something out here, all right. I mean, I saw it today. It's across the river. Shade was moving through the trees.
Are you sure you weren't imagining things, Porlock?
I saw what I saw.
Next time, get a photo.
There was something outside my tent last night. Something big. I heard it moving around, breathing.
Did you record it?
No, but it was there. I heard it. And something's watching. touching me.
Mean something?
Nothing, but I can feel its eyes. I know it's there, watching.
Don't take any chances.
Believe me, I know I won't.
What do you think of that?
There are no animals on this planet.
So you keep insisting. But I still think it's something to worry about.
We've got something else to worry about.
What?
Osden. He didn't call in this morning.
Nothing below but that damn thick foliage. How the hell will we ever find him in that?
He reported landing on the riverbank. Find the air car. He'll be camped nearby. There. There's the river.
And there's his car. I'll put her in hover. Toss out the ladder.
Well, there's not much in it. Sleeping bag, books, rations.
It can't have gone far. Species counting is slow work. What's this? His notebook. There's nothing recorded for today.
Oh, my God. Osden? Osden, can you hear me?
Is he dead?
He's alive. Bleeding badly.
He must have fallen. Trip, yes, that's it. On those roots.
He's been beaten. Struck from behind.
Impossible. There's nothing here that could have done that. There are no animals on this planet.
I don't detect a fracture.
It's a wonder you saw him. In this light between the trees. I've never seen roots like these. They're huge. We could have missed him altogether.
Fortunately, we didn't. Here, give me a hand here, Harfax, and help me turn him over.
Yes,
consider it done.
We'll take Osden to his bunk in the ship. He'll be safe.
What happened to you? The screaming.
I don't know. His eyes. He opened them for an instant. I panicked when I saw his eyes.
Something frightened me, too.
I was so terrified I almost fainted. I've never done that before. I was in contact with him, holding him. He seemed to be conscious for a moment. I felt such raw fear.
Perhaps what you felt was empathy.
Please. Please. No. Osden? Can you tell us what attacked you? You were attacked.
What?
You may not remember it yet. Something attacked you. You were in the forest.
Ah, the forest. In the forest.
What's in the forest, Osden?
I don't know.
Did you see what attacked you?
I don't know.
You remember it, though. You remember it now? The attack?
No.
Our lives may depend on this. Tell us. What you saw?
I don't know.
You will tell us. You will tell us. I need my tranks.
Oh, now he's off. Damn you, Osden, you selfish son of a bitch.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, God. Where am I now? I see it now. Why didn't I think of this before? Osden, I'm sorry. So very sorry. I will you well, Osden. Let me do that. Let me will you well. I don't want to hurt you. Listen. I do see now, really. It was one of us. That's right, isn't it? No, don't answer. Only tell me if I'm wrong. I'm not wrong, am I? Of course there are animals on this planet. Us. I don't care who it was. It doesn't matter anyway, does it? Could have been me just now. I realize that. I didn't understand, Osden. It's so difficult for the rest of us to comprehend. But listen, if it
If it were love instead of hate and fear, isn't it ever love?
No.
Why not? Are human beings also weak? That's terrible. No, no, never mind. Never mind. Don't worry. Keep still. At least, right now, it isn't hate, is it? Sympathy, at the very least. Concern. You do feel that, don't you, Austin?
Among other things.
Noise from my subconscious, I suppose. Psychic chatter. Austin, can you tell me something? When we found you there in the forest, when I turned you over, you started to come to, and I felt this horror of you, an insane fear, totally irrational. What was it? Your fear of me?
No. The forest. Afraid. So afraid.
Back, I see.
Yes.
Before I went to bed last night, I hung this polythene over your door.
Thank you.
Does it really shield you from our psychic noise?
No.
Just a warning, then?
Partly. More faith healing. Dr. Hammergill thought it worked. Maybe it does somewhat.
You must miss him. He was practically your father. Is he still alive?
He died at least 250 years ago. Are you forgetting where we are, Coordinator? We've left all our little families behind.
Austin, they're all scared. The rest of the crew. They've all got their own theories about what attacked you. A sort of ape potato, a giant fang spinach, I don't know. Even Harfex. You may be right not to force them to see. That would be worse, to lose confidence in each other, but why are we all so shaky? We're going to pieces so easily. Are we really all insane?
It'll get worse soon.
Why?
There is something.
Something sentient?
A sentience.
In the forest?
Yes.
What is it, then?
The fear. When I fell there in the forest, I didn't lose consciousness right away. Or rather, I kept regaining it. I don't know. It was like being paralyzed.
You were paralyzed.
I was on the ground. I couldn't get up. My face was in the dirt, in that soft leaf mold. It was in my nostrils and eyes. The blood, my blood, made the dirt around my face sticky. And I couldn't move. I couldn't see. As if I were in the ground, part of the composition of the soil.
We thought you were dead.
I felt the fear. It kept growing. And it was as if they had finally known I was there, lying on them there, under them. Among them. The thing they feared, and yet part of their fear itself. I couldn't stop sending the fear back, and it kept growing, and I couldn't get away. I would pass out, and then the fear would come. It would bring me to again. I couldn't move any more than they can.
They? Who are they, Austin?
They? I don't know. The fear.
That
rubbish, Hayato. No, pure rubbish. The trees know he's there. They're afraid of him. What is he talking about? There's something you're not telling us.
It's like the blind man trying to describe the elephant. Osden hasn't seen or heard the sentience any more than we have.
But he's felt it, my dear Hayato, not empathically, on his skull. It came and knocked him down and beat him with a blunt instrument. And he didn't catch a single glimpse of the thing?
What would he have seen, Harfix? Think about
it. Is this some kind of guessing game?
Even you. Denial. You're all in denial.
Denial? About what?
Look, the first blow knocked him pretty well out. He didn't see anything. But when he came to again, alone in the forest, he felt something. Fear. A great fear. Not his own. An empathic affect. He is certain about that, and he's equally certain he didn't pick it up from any of us. So evidently, the native life forms are not entirely insensate.
You're trying to scare me, Hayato. I can't begin to fathom what you're trying to accomplish. This conversation's useless. I've got work to do.
Oh, I can't rouse Esquana.
Have you tried stimulants?
Yes, everything. He's repressed. He's gone. Curled up like a fetus. We've lost him.
First Osden, and then...
Poor Ender.
10 little Indians, 9 little Indians.
You're the next little Indian. Go analyze your urine, poor...
No.
He's driving us all insane. Can't you feel it? Well, you're all deaf and blind. Can't you feel what he's doing? The emanation. It all comes from him. From him, from his room there, from his mind. He is driving us all insane with fear.
Who is?
Osden, numbskull. Osden.
Calm down, Porlock.
Why do you think I tried to kill him?
Kill him? What are you saying?
I had to do it to save us all. He sabotaged the mission by making us call on him. Now he's going to drive us all insane by projecting fear at us. Like some radio that doesn't make a sound but it broadcasts all the time. You can't sleep and you can't think. Hayato and Hoffix are they're already under his control. But the rest of you can be saved. Don't you see? I had to do it.
You didn't do it very well, Porlock. I could have hit myself harder. Hell, it isn't me that's scaring you to death. It's out there, Porlock, there in the woods.
Why, you...
Come on, let go of me!
What you not doing with this guy?
Get hands
on me! Get his arms steady. I like to keep him
as... Get away from me! Get off of me! Don't speak the thing.
There. That should hold him a while.
All right, now what?
Take him below and lay him next to Esquana. Here.
Don't bother. I got him. Let's go, pal. Let's go. Right this way.
Are you all right, Osden? Here, sit down.
All right, Osden. You'll tell us what you know and all you know.
Go easy, Harfix.
I don't know anything. After 3 days in the forest, I was occasionally receiving some kind of affect.
Why didn't you report it?
Thought it was going splah, like the rest.
That, too, should have been reported.
You'd have called me back to base. I couldn't take it. Besides, I was curious. How could I pick up empathic affects when there was no creature around to emit them? They were vague at first. Queer. Like a draft in a closed room. A flicker in the corner of an eye. I thought it must be the trees.
It's not the trees. They don't have a nervous system. Now, Harfax, you're not seeing the forest for the trees, as they say on Earth. What about those root nodes we've been puzzling over for the last 20 days?
What about them?
They are, without a doubt, connections. Connections among the trees, right? Suppose you knew nothing of animal brain structure, and you were given one axon or one detached glial cell to examine. Would you see that that cell was capable of sentience?
No, because it isn't. A single cell is capable of mechanical response to stimulus, nothing more. You're not saying that individual trees are cells in a kind of brain, are you, Manon?
Not exactly. But they are all interconnected, both by root node linkage and by green epiphytes in the branches. Even the prairie grass forms have those root connectors. Sentience, intelligence, isn't a thing. You can't find it in the cells of a brain. It's a function of the connected cells.
Sentience without senses. Blind. Deaf. Nerveless. motionless. Presence without mind. Awareness of being without object or subject. Nirvana.
Then why do you receive fear?
I don't know. But there was an uneasiness for days, and then when I lay between the trees and my blood was on their roots, it became fear, only fear.
If such a function existed, it would not be capable of conceiving of a self-moving material entity or responding to one.
To a forest, we might appear as forest fires, hurricanes, dangers. What moves quickly is dangerous to a plant. The rootless would be alien, terrifying. And if it is mind, it seems only too probable that it might become aware of Osden, whose own mind is open to connection with all others so long as he's conscious, and who was lying in pain and afraid within it, actually inside it. No wonder it was afraid.
Not it. There is no being as such, no huge creature, no person. There could at most be only a function.
There is only a fear.
Is that what I feel coming up behind me?
You all feel it, deaf as you are. Esquana's the worst off because he actually has some empathic capacity.
Listen, Austin. You don't just receive. You can send, too, can't you? Transmit. Send it, the forest, the fear out there. Tell it that we won't hurt it. Send out a message. We are harmless. We are friendly.
No one can emit a false empathic message.
But we don't intend harm. We are friendly.
Are we? In the forest? When you picked me up? Did you feel friendly?
No, we're terrified. But that was it. The forest, the plants. Not my own fear at all, wasn't it?
What's the difference? It's all you felt. Can't you see why I dislike you, all of you? And why you dislike me? Can't you see that I retransmit every negative or aggressive affect you've felt towards me since we first met? I return your hostility in self-defense.
You've created a closed circuit, self-sustaining and self-reinforcing.
Exactly. The forest mind transmits only terror. And the only message I can send it is terror. Because exposed to it, I can feel nothing but terror.
What can we do about it?
Move camp to another continent. If there are plant minds there, they'll be slow to notice us, as this one was. If we're lucky, they won't notice us at all.
It would be a considerable relief.
You know, Osden, I'm beginning to see you with new eyes.
I'd rather you didn't look at me at all.
What a specimen you are. You're trapped. This crass and cruel solipsism of yours is a trap. But we constructed it, not you.
What do you mean?
I mean that we have built the cage and have locked Osden in it. And like a caged ape, he throws filth at us through the bars. If right at the outset we had offered him trust, if we had had the strength to offer him love...
Water under the bridge. It's too late now, I'm afraid.
Oh, the poor guy.
My God. This is worse than your hatred.
Go lie down, Austin. Your gash is bleeding again.
Not much we can do for him, I'm afraid. Given time and solitude, it might be possible to form some kind of bond, but...
No, we don't have any of either. First thing tomorrow morning, I want us to strike camp and get this bird in the air. We've got to find a new base. A bald one.
There it is. Continent G. 20,000 square kilos of treeless prairie.
Nothing but graminiforms. Grass. Grass everywhere.
Find a nice flat spot. Take her down, Mr. Asnanafoil. What are you doing, Mr. Harfax?
I'm just taking a look at these little saprophytes. Look, they're all over the place.
I've got a good feeling about this site.
You can breathe here.
Well, do your breathing while you work. It's late, and we have to finish before dark.
Oh,
Oh, God. What a nightmare. Alaru? Are you awake, Alaru?
Boy's doing up at this hour.
What are you doing up?
Couldn't sleep.
Seems everybody's awake.
Except, of course, Esquam.
Seems so. As Nanafoy was forward drawing a mandala.
When I went aft to check on Porlock just now, I saw Olaru in the therapy niche.
Seems you're a giant come lately, Aito.
Move over. I want to change Austin's bandages. It's here, too, isn't it, Austin? The fear.
Yes.
How is that possible?
It's not just the trees. The grass is, too.
But we're 12,000 kilos from where we were this morning.
It's all one. One big green thought. How long does it take a thought to get from one side of your brain to the other?
It doesn't think. It isn't thinking. It's merely a network of processes, the branches, the epiphytic growths, the roots with those nodal junctures, they must all be capable of transmitting electrochemical impulses. Properly speaking, there are no individual plants. Even the pollen is part of the linkage, a sort of wind-borne sentience connecting one continent to another. But it's just not conceivable that all the biosphere of a planet should be one network of communication, sensitive, irrational, immortal, isolated.
That's the point. It's isolated. It isn't that we're motile or destructive. It's just that we are. We are other. This world has never experienced an other before.
You're right, Austin. It has no peers, no enemies, no relationship with anything but itself. One alone, forever.
We should leave this place.
Now you know why I always want to get away from you. It isn't pleasant, is it? The fear from the other. If only it were an animal intelligence. I can get through to animals. If I could get through to the damn stupid potato, if it wasn't so overwhelming. I pick up more than the fear, you know. Before it panicked, it had a... there was a serenity. I couldn't deal with it at the time. I didn't realize how big it is. To know the whole daylight, after all, and the whole night, all the winds and lulls together, the winter stars and the summer stars at the same time. To have roots and no enemies. To be entire. You see? No invasion, no others. To be whole.
You're defenseless against it, Austin. Your personality has changed already. We may not all go crazy, but you will, unless we leave.
What's sanity ever done for me?
We should get away.
If I gave in to it, I wonder, could I communicate?
By give in, I assume you mean stop returning the empathic information you receive from the plant entity. Stop rejecting the fear and absorb it?
Yes.
That will either kill you at once or drive you back into total psychological withdrawal. Autism.
Not necessarily. Its message is rejection. But my salvation is rejection. It's not intelligent, but I am.
What can a single human brain achieve against something so vast?
A single human brain can perceive pattern on the scale of stars and galaxies and interpret it as love.
I don't understand.
understand. Why are we bringing Esquana? He's virtually comatose.
He has some empathic power. He could serve as a medium.
The horrible disquiet. It's getting stronger. Can you feel it?
It can't hurt you. It's an impulse passing through synapses. A wind passing through branches. Only a nightmare.
I should have waited till morning. I can't see a thing except the stars. Where are we?
According to the instruments, over the forest.
It'd be easier here. Take her down.
This isn't going to be easy.
Why? Because of the dark?
Because welling up inside me is an overpowering urge to get the hell out of here.
I know. I can feel you fighting.
It's getting worse. Here we are. Oh, damn. It's so strong, I can't stand it.
How is this squad doing back there?
Badly, I'm afraid.
Good. That means we're in the right place.
Oh, no.
Then we're done. Winter's done. Then we're well in one another.
Austin. Austin.
Oh, God.
What?
God.
Esquana, you awake?
Oh, well.
Austin. It's you, isn't it?
Oh, well.
Where are you? Come back.
I'll stay here.
You'll be alone, Austin.
Listen. I will you well.
Austin. Austin. I'll come back. I have to get Harfex back to the base. But, Osden, I will come back.
Well, there's no sign of him.
We traipsed all over the area around the coordinates you gave us, but the guy could be hiding. He could be dead. Either way, we'd never find him in all that jungle.
Oh, he's alive, all right. And out there somewhere.
How can you be so sure?
There is no fear anymore.
Hey, I could use a hand over here.
All right, crew, shake a leg. We have a survey to finish.
Yes, ma'am. Let's get going here.
The ship returned to Earth after many surveys, years and light years, to what had been, several centuries ago, their home. And there were still men there to receive, incredulously, the team's reports and to record its losses. Biologist Engar Harfex, dead from fright. Censor George Osden, left as a colonist.
You have been listening to a selection from the science fiction series 2000X, presented by Audible.com and Microsoft. 2000X is produced by Yuri Rozovsky and the Hollywood Theater of the Ear. 2000X is available for exclusive digital audio download from Audible.com, where you'll find more classic and original science fiction.